Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome back to In The Pink with me, Natalie Pinkham. Thank you so much for all your lovely feedback on David Yarrow. What a great guy he is. I really enjoyed talking to him. Hope you enjoyed his podcast. Now for my next guest. Multi-talented doesn't even come close to describing this one. An actress, singer, model, dancer, and presenter, Denise Van Outen's versatility is matched only by her work ethic. It seems to me that one thing that determines a celebrity's popularity is if you can imagine sitting down, having a drink and a good old chin wag with them. Well, for me, Denise does exactly that. She's open, honest, self-deprecating, and very funny. So here she is in all her glory, Denise Van Outen. So here we are, Denise Van Outen, in, well, snuggled into quite a cosy little corner in our friend Charlie Jilks's bar in the West End, which I would say is the perfect place for you.
It is. It's cahoots. And I like it.
Because we are in cahoots.
We're in cahoots. And it is like an underground. And there's nobody here. We are the only ones.
This is what happens with daytime drinking.
Which means we can have a nice conversation without anybody hearing it. Oh dear.
Until it's published.
Yes.
But does it feel like home when you come back to the West End? Because I know you live out of town and you come in and you sort of blitz these meetings and you've effectively shoehorned me into your day because you are a crazily busy woman.
Is it I haven't nice? Shoehorned you. No, oh. I haven't. No, there's always time
space.
For you,
Pinky. Oh,
thank you. Yes, no, it's. I do love coming into London. And the thing is, I am really at heart, I'm a London girl, I'm a city girl. But I think when I had Betsy, I moved out to Kent and I lived on a farm. And I just then became, I was torn between city and country. And I think when you've got kids, I just do love being out in the country. Mm. And even though I moved back into London just over a year ago for a short period of time, I was ready to move out again. I love it. I love coming in, but I do also like getting out of London. Yeah. I think it's just because I'm a mum.
But and you need your fix, don't you? You kind of need your city fix.
And I need the buzz. And also what I found is as well, when I'm living in the country, I have to do more exercise with like my PT because you never walk anywhere. So you think about it. When you move out, you think you're going to have this healthy lifestyle. But actually, because you live in the middle of nowhere, you drive everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do less exercise and I just get fatter.
Stop it.
The country makes you fat.
There
city
it is.
Makes you thin.
Yeah. It's the stress of the city that
exactly.
makes you thin. But specifically the West End, does it give you goosebumps when you come back here? Because it feels like this is your stomping ground.
It does, yeah. And do you know what?
Do you get butterflies in your belly a bit?
A little bit. I sort of sometimes forget what I've done. Do you know what I mean? And then I sit back sometimes and people ask me questions, like probably talking to you. And then it's a reminder of all the things that you've done, like... Betsy said it to me the other day, my daughter, and she said, oh, which theatres have you worked in? I was looking at the theatres along Shaftesbury Avenue, and I was like, Mummy did a show in that one, and I did a show in that one. My first show at the Palace Theatre was Les Miserables in that one. You know, so you've got all these memories. But I do... Memories, there you go. I burst into song. But I do feel that, for me, yeah, the West End is special. It is very... It's a special place. And it is the heart of theatre land.
It is. I mean, it's a special place for anyone just to visit, let alone perform in. And it feels like you've been doing that since the beginning of your life. It feels like... You always... Well, you tell me. Bit of a show pony. Always kind of grew up enjoying a bit of a song and dance, bit of jazz hands.
Yeah. You've,
I mean, I'm sort of looking and considering your career and your life. It's spanned a big chunk of time.
I started when I was seven. It's my first professional job.
Crazy.
So in a way, it's all I've ever known. And I did my first West End show when I was 11, which was Les Miserables, the year it opened. So I have kind of been doing it for my whole life. So I can't ever imagine doing anything else. And people say to me, what would you do? And I think even now, it would be something that's related in some way to the industry, be it an agent or a manager. I know I'd be a really brilliant agent because I know this industry inside out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've been doing
it
for so
long. You
don't
take any crap either.
No, I mean, sometimes I've had moments when, you know, like we all do, where I've had contracts that have gone wrong and not read the small print and, you know, you learn from those mistakes. But, I think the trouble is as well, is like recently I had a bit of a shake-up with agents. And I've had quite a few agents, not always by choice, but my agent that I was with had left. And I was like, do you know what? Actually, I do most of it myself.
Mm.
I've just had this conversation with a friend of mine and we were talking about it. And I do believe that if you want to do something, you can make it happen.
Mm.
So if I want to do, it's a bit like you with this brilliant podcast that you do. You wanted it to happen, so you make it happen. But sometimes we rely on other people to make create our own destiny.
That's so true, because also I always think with anything in life, whoever's considering you for a job wants to speak to you. They don't want to speak to a middleman. Now, I'm not trying to
you do need the agents them out. You know,
well,
I know
you
do
make
need
good
them.
Cop and bad cop,
exactly,
and you can they can look at your contracts, and but I do think they want to look into the whites of your eyes and work out if you're the person they really want.
Exactly,
whatever the job is. It doesn't have to be in television or entertainment. It can be in anything you do. They do need to know if they can trust you, if you've got a good work ethic or whatever.
What does surprise me as well is when I look back at what I was like as a child in the industry, I was really focused. And I think I've only become aware of it watching my daughter now and seeing that she's completely the opposite to me, which is so funny because, you know, she actually really likes acting and she's quite a good little actress. You know, she can do all the accents and everything and she learns the script really well. But she just doesn't have that focus and attention that I had. Like, I was really, really meticulous about learning lines and perfecting a performance to the point that I would I lived and breathed it. You know, it was just what I did day in and day out. And I don't see that in her. And it's funny, and it's, I've never really seen, until you look at your own children, that's the first time I've gone, oh my goodness, like, I really did put everything into it.
And why do you think that was?
I've no idea, because it's really bizarre. Nobody else in my family is involved in the industry. So I don't even know. It's weird. It was like I was born with jazz hands. It's all I ever wanted to do. I literally came out into the splits and went, I'm here. But it's funny, isn't it?
Because
you could be so different as well from, like, when I look at my siblings. And like I said, I don't come from a showbiz family. So it's quite weird that from such a young age, I was so I was so driven and so focused.
Was that part of it? Were you looking to get away from something else? Like,
I don't
you didn't
know.
Want a boring life.
But this is the thing, and as I've got older, I've started to question, like, what was I trying to escape? Do you know what I mean? I don't know, because really what I was doing was just throwing myself into this kind of... It was a fantasy, really, life. Do you know what I mean? In my head, this little bubble that I lived in. I don't know.
But you know what you said earlier about what would you do if you didn't do this? Because something that really strikes me about you is that you're multi-talented. Normally that question is asked of someone that's got a fairly narrow path in life. Like they're, you know, we always ask it of Formula One drivers and we say, well, maybe be an engineer or so. But, you know, there aren't that many options. But you've done so much of acting, presenting, modelling, singing, dancing. There's so many facets to your career. So actually, you could. It feels, from the outside looking in, you could turn your hand to anything.
I think the best piece of advice I ever got was from Sylvia Young when I went to her school. And she said to me, and I remember, you know, when you sit down to get your careers advice, and she said to me, you know, the best thing you can do is focus on everything, not just one thing, because we had a lot of kids in the school that just wanted to be just an actress or just a musical theatre performer or just a singer. And she said, you don't have to be brilliant, but try and be good at everything and then you'll always work. And that stuck in my head. So I never thought to myself, I'm going to pigeonhole myself. But to be honest, that also, because I do a bit of everything, for a long period of time, it wasn't acceptable to do everything. So it wasn't acceptable.
Okay.
So that has always been a battle for me in my career, because people don't, like, I can act, but I'll get people that will think, because I do light entertainment, I'm not an actress. Do you know what I mean? So in a way, if I'd have just gone, right, I'm just going to do acting, I probably would have achieved more in just acting. So in some ways, it's kind of held me back in certain areas.
I can see that your versatility in some ways you're undoing, because they think if she was really good, she would just put all her eggs in that basket.
Yeah, but it's not. And it's also, I think, just because I get bored. I'm a bit ADHD and I couldn't just do one thing. I need the chop and the change and I need the new challenge and I need to just be busy.
Well, you're certainly that. My God.
I know I am.
It's taken
busy.
A long time to get this podcast dated, hasn't it?
But things just pop up.
Yeah, but you know, you say
and
that.
They do.
They pop up for you. They don't pop up for everyone.
Well, but I create them as well.
Yeah.
It's like even this morning, I found a play that I read years ago, and it's always been in my head that one day I want to do this play. So I was I got in touch with the writer, and then I met a producer to make the play happen for next year. So
that's
I'm
amazing.
Doing things like that all the time.
In the Pink is sponsored by Bose, who've been perfecting the art of sound so you can listen in unrivaled quality and comfort. The new Bose Noise Cancelling 700s take it to a whole other level. So you'll always hear what you want in perfect quality, no matter where you are. Also, be heard like never before with their unrivaled 4-microphone system, which isolates your voice whilst cancelling the noise around you. Always stay connected with Bose's first-of-its-kind augmented reality function that will change the way you think about travel, exercise and learning. Never be caught out because they have an excellent 20 hours of battery life. And for all you fashionistas, they come in black and silver so you can fit them around your style. Treat your ears with the new Bose Noise Cancelling 700s, a sound experience like never before. Now, back to our interview.
So I think you first came onto most people's radars, certainly of our generation, with Big Breakfast.
Yeah,
and
which was never, ever part of the game plan. I was never, ever, I never wanted to be a presenter. I never wanted to be famous. When I did performing when I was a kid, I just loved old performers and films and people that did everything, all round performers. So I never wanted to be famous. It was never, you know, you get young kids now and I listen to them and they're like, I'd love to be famous. And it never entered my head. I would have been quite happy being in the chorus of a West End show. That was my dream, to be a dancer in a West End show. So it was never part of the plan.
So how did it happen?
Completely by accident. So I had a theatre agent. Obviously, I'd done a lot of theatre and I'd done film and soap and sitcom and when I was younger. And then I was on Oxford Street and I was on a bus and it was summer and I was really very young. And a producer...
How young
I was.
You?
This was before, just pre-Big Breakfast. I was about 17, 18.
Wow.
And the heel broke on my shoe. And I was laughing and joking with people on the bus. And I jumped off the bus and I had to carry my shoe in my hand. So I was hobbling along Oxford Street. And this guy came over to me and his name was Ben. And he said, excuse me, have you ever thought about doing television presenting? And I said, no. And he said to me, this is going to sound weird, but I'm round the corner at Mentorn Films. He said, we're doing an open casting today. We're looking for some young presenters to present a Saturday morning programme. And he said, would you like to come in? And I was like, well, actually, I have actually got an agent. I'm with Sylvia Young. And he was like, I could sort of tell the way that you were. Would you like to come in? So I went in and I did a screen test there and then. And then the next thing, my agent got a phone call saying that I'd got this job. And it was a show called Scratchy & Co. And they had a magazine programme within the programme called Massive. And I did it with a model back in those days. And he was quite hot, called Cassius.
Distracting.
Now, yeah, really distracting. He was like on the cover of like Just 17 and all those
magazines.
Oh, Just
17!
Yeah,
I remember that.
He was really cute. And so I did that. And it was from that I got spotted to do the Big Breakfast.
That's
so
amazing.
It was never, ever. How weird is that? I was just on a bus.
That sort of serendipitous moment.
So then I ended up doing presenting, and which I loved.
Yeah.
And I actually thought, you know what? This is so much easier than doing... Because I'd worked so hard being... Yeah. You know, when you do shows and things, it's hard work that I just kind of flew with that for a bit, doing presenting. And then I think I just sort of missed the theatre side of everything.
But did you feel that you could dip in and out of it? Was that something that was clear to you back then?
Not really. I mean, at that time, I think because the Big Breakfast was such a big show, I did kind of get a bit pigeonholed then as well. Mm. So it stopped me doing a lot of acting. Mm. But I think what happened was, it was when I left the Big Breakfast and then I went on to do other things, and I made a lot of bad career choices by choosing things that were just great for money but not particularly
like what?
Wise choices. Like I did a Friday night programme on Channel 4 called Something for the Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a bit risque, you know, because it was all, it was a bit for the post pub crowd.
Right.
And, you know, people, we dress guys up, their packages, as famous rock stars. Like we had Elton Schlong and he had his cock out, you know, things like that. And so, can you imagine? It was shocking for a woman to do this at that time.
Yeah.
Of course, now Graham Norton does it. They all do, you know, on these shows. And
but
people
you're
like,
not really women.
But
then.
It wasn't.
Even now, it's and not really women.
I got
it,
a lot of bad press from
Did
it
you?
Because it was really shocking for people to see, to have a female presenter. I'd been on Big Breakfast
right.
in the morning, you know, everything was a bit nudge, nudge, wink, wink, but we never ever took anything to that next level.
Yeah.
But then suddenly on a Friday night, you know, I've got a lineup of guys with their cocks out, dressed as famous rock stars, you know, and it was, I mean, it was a funny show.
What, their willies were dressed
Yeah, they're dressed up with, like, no. they had, like, you know,
I don't remember that.
Glasses and...
I was probably banned from watching
pubes.
That one.
But, you know, but this was a thing, and it kind of destroyed my career.
Really?
Because my TV career, because I'd been hosting a lot of Saturday night primetime shows,
yeah.
and they wouldn't touch me with a barge pole.
Really?
And overnight, literally, all my TV offers dried up because I'd had this one show that was had got such bad press. And
but it sort of, maybe, because I remember thinking that you were... Well, I tell you a little anecdote. Mm. When I was on my way here... When I got a blow dry.
I can tell, your hair looks lovely.
Thanks very much. And there was a Closer magazine just on the side. And there was a nice article about you in it. And I said, oh, can I keep that? And she went, yeah, sure. I said, well, I'm about to go and interview Denise for...
She probably thought weirdo.
Yeah, well,
stalker.
Stalker. And she was, oh, I love her.
Aww.
And do you know what I thought? It struck me that... You're very likeable for men and women, and that's quite rare.
I don't know what it is.
Because normally pretty girls, other women find them a bit of a threat.
But I do look really minging with that makeup on.
Shut up.
I do.
Shut up. No one's seen you with that makeup on.
I have.
Have they?
Yeah. Well, I always put pictures on my social media.
Okay, not now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about your whole career.
Yeah, yeah,
I suppose. It feels like through your career, it feels like I've grown up and our generation grew up with you. Everyone liked you. And that's so... Why do you think that was? Because it could be that you did shows like the... cock out one
maybe
and it actually made you a little people weren't putting you on such a pedestal. They're saying actually she could be our mate, she's more relatable, she doesn't take herself too seriously. Because that's certainly the feeling I feel, that people need to watch someone on television and feel like they could go for a drink with them.
Yeah,
and I that's always also, been the energy that you've given off.
I don't know. I think maybe as well, don't I think back in those days I had a lot of my private life was very public,
right?
And I did go through a lot of shit. So I think, and that was, I think that as well is, people relate to that.
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah.
When I'm the first, and I sometimes don't even know people, and if I see them going through something, I'll direct message and go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that happened.
Yeah.
And da-da. We've all been there. You'll be fine. You'll get through it.
Yeah.
So I do think that maybe perhaps it's to do with that. I don't know.
You're right, actually, because I think when, yeah.
Like, I've not lived the dream, have I? Do you know what I mean? I've had a lot of...
Yeah.
I've had... great moments, but I've also had a lot of crappy moments as well, and it's all been very public.
Mm. And has that made it harder for you to deal with then?
No, do you know what?
Or do you feel like you've had the support then? How are you through?
I would never complain about what... I feel like... I know a lot of people moan about the industry. First of all, I think if you are going to be in the public eye, then you can't use it when it suits you, and then, you know, when it doesn't suit you, you can't switch it off, and you have to understand that, and you just have to accept it. And I do accept it, because I've been doing it for so long. But, for instance, like the whole thing I was saying about when I did that show, I then went through a period where people probably didn't even see it, but I wasn't working. I couldn't get a job, which is how Chicago came about. So when I went for Chicago, I had to go for an open audition. I didn't go in because they had never had a celebrity in the show before. It'd only been opened.
You were the first one.
I was the first person to do it.
God, thinking about it. Yeah. Yes.
So
I
auditioned
that.
For it like every other actress.
You started a trend.
Yeah. Well, that's off the back of me doing it. That's when the producers went, oh, this works now.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But when I went and did the audition, I had to go for recalls. I was put through it. Like, I had to wait to see if I'd get called back. It wasn't like they called me up because I was off the telly, because no show's really, really ever done that. The only show previous to that would have been Joseph when Jason Donovan did it with Andrew. And obviously, it's also a risk when you put a celebrity into a show, because if they can't do it, your show fails. And Chicago is such a brilliant show that they need to make sure that after, like, Ruthie and Uta, you know, they were going to have really good people. So I had to audition for that. And I think... that for me was probably the turnaround where people saw me as some as a different from what I'd been seen as perceived
well, a bit
as
more
before.
Depth, maybe,
yeah, and just
talent there.
Yeah,
and,
that yeah. I could actually do something. Yeah, you know, I wasn't just the nudge, nudge, wink, wink girl from Breakfast Telly. And
yeah, and was that important to you on a personal level as well?
No, truthfully, I wasn't doing it for that reason. I did it because I had no work. Yeah. I literally wasn't working. I just wanted to work, and I was like, right, what can I do?
But
I'll go back to what I know.
But you hadn't sung. I was going to say, go back to what you know. But you hadn't sung on that kind of. That level of profile before that
never,
stage
no.
before
no.
That's pretty intimidating.
Yeah, and I'd shied away from all of that. I'd literally went and did the presenting, and I stuck to the presenting. That's probably, I don't have regrets, but one of the things I do wish I'd have done is that I wish I'd have taken on a few more of the challenges that were offered to me around that time when I was doing a lot of TV.
Like what?
But I didn't.
Like,
oh, like I was offered to do a lot more stuff to do with singing and I never did it because I put myself in a box as much as everybody else did. I'm a presenter, I'll never be taken seriously. I didn't really try to do a lot of the other things I could have done. And I had a lot of opportunities that came along that I just shooed away because I just probably was a bit too comfortable at just being a ladette. Do you know what I mean?
And so that's interesting. So that...
So then it came out of desperation at the end.
Right. Okay. So that ladette tag did sit comfortably to an extent with you, but then obviously led you down a little bit to a bit of a dead end.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how it felt.
It did. It's a one-way street,
isn't
it? Benefit
of hindsight, though. I think that could have actually been the making of you in a way.
Yeah. I think at that time, I'd gone through a breakup. I'd had this image that I couldn't shake off. So there were probably there was a lot going on at that time. I think that's why when I did that, it surprised people.
Right.
But it was probably the making of me, really.
Yeah, it probably
and also,
was.
It made me love what I'd always loved as a kid. And I'd lost that. I lost my way with it.
Yeah.
You know, you see with people, when you love doing something, like Louise Redknapp, I don't know really, really well, but I completely relate to her. She was one of the people I direct messaged, by the way. And when I've been there, I know what it's like. I can see, like, when she did Strictly.
Yeah.
Why, when she came out and said, I've been a mum for years and I missed performing, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
When it's in you, and she's been doing it since she was a kid, and you're born with it, without sounding like an advert. Yeah. That's what you...
And you're actually suppressing it when you're not
doing
it. Yeah,
you are. And we've all done that. Either through motherhood, which isn't a bad thing, but all through relationships and being pigeonholed.
Yeah.
And...
But when you're a mum, it is, without doubt, and I know you feel this too, the best job in the world. But you do have to sort of redefine yourself.
Yeah.
Not just to everyone else, but most importantly to yourself. You're like, right, okay, who am I? Where do I fit into the world?
Yeah.
And it's tough. And it, you know, that's the same for every mum everywhere doing anything. You know, it can be quite a lonely existence.
Yeah.
But, you know, just back to your DM thing. That's so interesting because I think a lot of people...
She never got back to me, by the way.
Oh!
She probably never even saw it.
Oh!
But I did feel really sad for her. I was like, because I felt like she was getting a lot of negative press. And I was like, give her a break.
Yeah.
She's brought her kids up. Let her go out and have a good time.
But I was thinking about that in, you know, like you look at people that you might know, but you might see them, you might learn about stuff through the papers or whatever. And you think, do you know what? They're still a human being.
Well,
they just need a little bit of support. Everybody it needs to hear, come on, you keep up, keep fighting, keep strong, you know. Back to Big Breakfast. One of the big things was obviously your relationship with Johnny Vaughan and the chemistry, the on-screen chemistry was incredible because it wasn't smutty or sort of, maybe occasionally sexy, but it was more that you could just tell that you got on well.
We were proper mates.
And you had such a laugh together.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed every day. Like, we literally used to laugh to the point where I was going to wet myself. We just, you know, you have those mates, don't you, sometimes, where you just click.
Yeah.
And it was instant. We just got on.
Yeah. Well, I've just done this road trip with Gethin Jones, who loves you, by the way. I told him I was doing this.
I love Geth.
And I laughed so much, and I didn't even know why I was laughing at one point. Now, obviously, very happily married, and actually I think he and my husband are more in love with each other than I am with either of them, because they're both massive Welshies and love their rugby. But it's a lovely feeling giggling that much with someone, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Chemistry's a funny thing. You never know when you're going to get it, who you're going to get it with.
Exactly.
But when it happens, it's great.
So it is, and that was like, he was my real buddy. I just adored him, and I still
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do, but we then things happen within the industry where obviously then once the show became really successful, we were in a position to negotiate our contract, and I thought we were doing it together as a team, but his agent had other ideas, and she was obviously trying to negotiate that he got more money, and there was all those kind of arguments that happen with bands, presenters. I mean, in any
bullshit, really,
isn't it? It is, because at the end of the day, I wanted to know we were a little team, and became apparent that we were no longer a team. So that was one of the problems, and then I don't know. We never really got back on track, and it's weird because we message on the odd occasion, and I'm actually as much as I'm very confident person, I'm confident but I'm very sensitive, so they're two very different things, you know. And I do take things to heart, so sometimes when things are said or done, it sits with me, and perhaps I should learn to let them go. But I find it really hard.
But so how do you feel about him now?
I love him to bits, but he also, we've sort of messaged that we should meet up, but I just think sometimes, not to him in particular, but sometimes with other male presenters, when I do meet up with them or with people in the industry, their ego sort of takes over a little bit.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to have the conversation because they just brush it over. Go, oh, let's forget about it, move on. It's like, well, you sort of do have to have a conversation,
but sometimes,
to move on.
Sometimes it's down to us girls to force the conversation.
And I've tried. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I have tried. Yeah. But I think...
But you've also got to get to a point where you can't
keep trying.
Twist someone.
No, and I'm just like...
But you're in a great place. I mean, that, more of that...
But I do love him to bits, so I'm not saying anything, untoward about him as a person.
That.
It's
totally
just loads of things. And so much has changed now,
you
know?
Yeah, you grow apart.
Yeah,
doesn't
and
mean
like,
you have to be
I don't
best
know his kids, and I don't know his... You know, we don't really know anything about each other anymore.
Yeah. I think it's just the nation just want you to be besties for life, don't they?
I did always say it'd be quite funny if they did throw us in the jungle together. Then that would be
Would you ever do the jungle?
Oh, I would, yeah. I have been asked to do it before. Only because I'm a real outdoorsy, love, like I go trekking and camping and I would love it. But
what about SAS?
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
Too hard.
Yeah, and I don't particularly like being shouted at. Do you know what I mean?
I actually do.
Oh, you dirty cow. Now we know what you're like.
No, it's weird. Discipline.
I will do it, but I want to do it when I want to do it. I don't want to be you shouting at me.
Oh my God, I think you'd be brilliant in the jungle.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You don't know. I mean, it's not happening this year, just to stop any of the rumors.
Yeah,
I did say it'd be funny if... I think that's the only way they could probably get us back together is to throw us in the jungle together.
That would be so good. God, I'd watch that. That's the appointments of you television right there.
That'd be funny.
And then the next sort of few steps that you've made with your career, again, I go back to this feeling that I don't want to use the word reinvent because that suggests that you have to do something to crowbar yourself back into whatever. But you just seem to be able to pull rabbits out the hat based on your talent. You just do seem to have the resource of talent to tap into. and to go, right, this is the direction I'm going in now. And I'm thinking, you know, obviously with musicals, but Neighbours, how did that come about?
Well, that came about because the production team had obviously seen some other things that I'd done, and it was mainly, a lot of it was to do with Jason Donovan, because his daughter's in it, and I play her mum. So they needed a British woman to play her mum. And I think just maybe all the connections of, I know Jason, I've known him for years. And so that's kind of how it came about. But yeah, it sort of was a bit out of the blue, really.
So you went over there.
Yeah.
You did a block of filming.
Yeah.
And then when do we get to see it?
Oh, so it's just started.
Right.
So, but I'll be on
so
here.
How many have I missed?
Only one. It started yesterday.
Oh,
so
amazing.
I was on here yesterday.
Okay.
And then I've shot scenes up until like March next year. And then after that, because I can't say too much, because it's a 35-year anniversary, so I've got quite a big storyline.
But
yeah, no, it's good. I'm lucky I do get to do all these different things. And of course, it opens other doors, because the play that I'm thinking about doing next year, I was now like, oh, actually, we could maybe go and do it in Australia as well.
Yeah.
So it does open other doors.
But you seem to be in a good place with your career, but that, I don't know, and I'm definitely not putting words into your mouth, because you will correct me. It seems to come from a calmness from you, just seeing the way you interact with people and the way you are. And your relationship with Eddie is, what, 5, 6 years?
6 years next year, yeah.
Oh,
can you believe it?
God.
6 years.
That is...
That's the longest
like
for
that.
Me.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm so rubbish at relationships.
But you're not.
No, I really am.
I feel like you're a serial monogamist.
No, I've always been with someone, and the problem I have... is I do get very bored.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. And
but
I
is
think
that with life generally, or just
everything,
with
everything, which is why even
restless.
No, I think everything. I think I've got. I'm a bit ADHD, and I think as I've got older, because my daughter's got it. I've come to realise.
She?
Yeah, she's been. She's got. She's not severe. She's got strands of a bit of everything. She's got dyslexia, dyspraxia, dyscalculia. She's
really?
Got a bit of ADHD. She's a little bit of everything.
Like a little bundle.
Yeah. So, and through having her. Going to, you know, specialist with her to sort of define what it is that she's got. I've learned a lot about myself, and obviously I've seen a lot in myself. And when they're asking me the questions like, so what is she like when she's at home watching TV? Can she just sit still? And I'm like, not really. She's always getting up and doing something. And I'm thinking, I never
That's
sit
you.
Still.
Yeah.
I literally never sit still. All films, you know, when we talk about friends of mine go, well, don't you remember this film when you were a kid? And I was like, I've never sat through a full film. Like, I find it really hard to sit still.
Yeah, but do you know what? How interesting is that, that you are learning so much about yourself because of your daughter?
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah,
though?
But it's good, because also I've got to understand myself a bit more, and also it helps me to understand how what it's done is enabled me to reassure her that if you find that one thing you love, you'll probably be really good at it because it'll be, you'll put more into it.
Yeah.
You know,
especially. Well, you're a shining example of success with all of that bundled in.
Well, I think, especially with kids with dyslexia.
Yeah.
Or like, last night I was trying to help Betsy with the maths homework and I was useless. I had to get Eddie to do it.
I actually dread the time.
No, I said to Eddie, I can't do this. And he was like, babe, are you joking me? And I went, I'm serious, I can't do it. And he had to help Betsy.
He's a little brain box, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a financier,
and he's good with numbers and everything. It's not my bag.
Yeah.
But I was like, and he was going, I can't believe you can't do it. It's so simple. She's 9. They've given you homework for a 9-year-old and you can't do it. I went, yeah, but you can't do what I do.
Yeah.
So do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
But I'm able to say that to Betsy.
Yeah.
So she doesn't feel like she hasn't got confidence. And I think that was the problem with me, is I never really had that diagnosis. And diagnosis makes it sound all very clinical and medical. But it's not... I never really had that, so I never really understood why there were certain things I couldn't do. And I always used to think, why don't I finish things? Why do I start something, move on to something else? But now I realise I've always had a bit of ADHD. So.
And so do you think that has in turn helped your personal and private life? Or is it,
no,
is
I
it
think it's been a nightmare.
Mean as in with Eddie.
Oh, like. Yeah. I think because we're just very similar and I'm older and we are so much alike. But I do think it had a massive effect on my relationships growing up. Mm. I got bored so easily. I mean, it would literally be, like my friends used to go, 3 years was the max I could do. And I would get, and that was at a stretch.
That's like Jose Mourinho at a football club. Mm. Like, gets 3 years and you're out.
But it's terrible, isn't it? And Eddie, I remember when we were coming up to 3 years, he went, this is going to be the test now to see. If, yeah, because he sort of was half thinking, never go past 3 years. I have gone past 3 years. Before, like with Betsy's father, Lee, I did, but I'm probably, a lot of that was because we had Betsy and, you know, but I do get, which sounds awful because it sounds like I'm sort of just shooing guys away, but it's not. It's just, it's not great when you can't settle. It's a horrible feeling.
No, of course it's not. It's, you know, that's, yeah, you know, that's tough for you. You are good terms with Betsy's dad.
Oh, God, yeah. We get on well, so well. Yeah. So well.
That's lovely. But I also think it's a lot to do with the fact that Eddie makes you laugh so much.
Yeah, we do laugh a lot. We do.
I mean, your sense of humour is very similar, isn't it?
It's very similar. And yeah, that's the one thing I will say. And I remember somebody once said that to me, if you can laugh together, then you'll stay together. And we do. And that's the thing as well. When we say it's 6 years, it doesn't feel like 6 years. Yeah. Whereas before, everything used to always feel like, if I get to 3 years, whereas the 3 years is gone and I haven't even thought about it.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
we'll see.
Is there any regret that you didn't meet him earlier?
No, because, yeah, I mean, there are moments when you do think it would have been nice, but then he wouldn't have. He's got two lovely grown-up children. And also, I've got Betsy, and, you know, I don't have any regrets about any of my relationships.
Yeah.
But I...
And also, you can't change anything, so that's a stupid question for me.
Maybe we wouldn't... Maybe even if we'd met when we were younger, I don't think we probably would have worked out. I think...
Ah, so it's got...
I think a lot of it's to do with age, yeah. And also getting to know yourself, because you do as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, you start to understand yourself a bit more. And I've had to start seeing... I've started to learn that... there's something nice about giving something time.
Yeah.
Because I'd always be thinking, what's next? And who can I do next? Who's next on the hit list? Without actually enjoying being in something and seeing what happens when that grows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you and Eddie in year one is very different, I'm sure.
Oh my God,
to you
so
and Eddie
different.
Now.
And we look so much older.
I don't know you
but
do.
It's that. Sorry, I'm just going to have a quick drink.
Do you know what? Classy.
Yeah, classy as a
girl. Do you know that... I know you've just said that Eddie couldn't do what you do, but it's quite funny seeing him.
He thinks
on Gogglebox.
He can. No, he's funny on Gogglebox.
He's funny.
But he can't sing. And he always... Have you not seen him at Charlie's Place when he gets on the mic?
Oh,
and he
God.
Hogs... He thinks he's a really good singer. It's really annoying. He's a terrible singer. No, Gogglebox is funny. And again... I must love him because previously, any other relationship, they said do something with your partner. I was always like, no, I keep my career separate.
Right.
I do my own thing.
Why do you think that was?
Because
you went out with a couple of famous people, obviously, Chimokwai, JK.
Yeah, but we still kept everything quite separate.
Yeah.
There weren't very many things that we did together or were seen at together.
But you and Lee had very similar lives. Like,
you
met on a job.
Yeah,
you?
On the show.
On the show.
But again, we kept everything separate afterwards. Mm. I feel comfortable. Do you know what I mean? And you know he can do it. He's not fazed by anything. It's not like he does a bit of telly and he feels uncomfortable.
No, but I think he's natural. I think he's authentic.
Yeah.
I think people see through you straight away if you're not.
Yeah,
I think so. he's exactly as he is on screen as he is off it, as are you.
But it's funny because people...
That's the best way.
Actually stopping him now asking for selfies,
no.
Which is hilarious because he's like, he comes home and it's all old dears and he's like, oh, I got stopped in John Lewis.
He's quite distinctive looking, isn't
he?
Yeah.
And I was like, is it weird for you? And he went, it is a bit odd. He said, because I keep thinking, he said, like, I was in the co-op and someone thought I'd stolen something because I'm being like followed around the aisles. And then I had to sort of educate him a little bit about not dragging it out because people, what happens is a lot of the time is, if somebody spots somebody they recognise from TV, they first of all think they know them from, they've met them.
Yeah.
Or, did we go to school together? Or they're standing there and I'm like, put them out of their misery and, you know, just say, perhaps you watch Gogglebox or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And he does this thing
but
where they go...
It sounds a bit wanky when you say
it
that,
does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But they go to him, oh, it's you, isn't it? Oh, I know it's you. Oh, it's you. I've met you. I saw you at my Auntie Vi's birthday party. I was talking to you all night and he's like, no, we've never met before. And I'm standing there thinking, just put the woman out of her misery. But I know you. Oh, are you on telly? Or you're on that thing? And he goes, I don't know. What programme do you think it is? And I'm just like, just say it.
Is that modesty stopping him?
I don't know what it is.
Or does he quite enjoy it?
I just think he likes it. He's just dragging it out. And I'm like, please just tell him.
Along with Bose, In the Pink is sponsored by Tag Heuer, Swiss avant-garde since 1860. Excellence, precision and elegance. Their timepieces are designed for those who love challenges, which is a great fit for this podcast because most of the guests share that sentiment.
I know that we're both in our 40s
now,
but I held a little baby today and I tell you what, it made my ovaries flip.
I wouldn't have any now.
Wouldn't you?
No.
No.
No, shall I tell you
but
why?
You've got three between
we
you.
Did talk about it. We did go through about a year of, well, I would say it was lazy trying, really. we sort of always missed the right time, but it was always when we were very quite a bit drunk or something. We were like, well, we've tried, but there was no trying going on, really.
You weren't looking at your little, because I remember, I used to message Wiggy saying, I'm ovulating. He'd go, well, you're in South Korea, so that's no good to me. And then in the end, I stopped flying to so many places with F1.
Yeah.
Straight away, we got pregnant because we were in the same country at the same time.
Exactly. No, we didn't. We did talk about it because we were a bit like, oh, it would be nice. But then I think when we've discussed it properly, we look at, like, Eddie's kids, his son's 25. I mean, before you know it, they're going to be having, Eddie's going to be a granddad.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And we were like, it's a bit weird when you've got grown-up kids that your dad then starts having children. Plus, it's all very nice at the moment. Do you know what I mean? We don't need to.
Yeah.
You're a mum whether you've got one or 10 kids. It doesn't make any difference. I'm a mum. I've still got a young daughter. She's only 9.
Yeah.
I'm still going through the sleepovers and the, you know, the trips to Disney and all those kind of things. So
you never
I'm
know.
Still in it.
It might alter your relationship with her. I mean, like, not
she
not
doesn't
wittingly.
Want me to. We've
well,
talked about
well,
it. And I've asked her since she was very little. And all my friends' kids who've got one have all said to me, oh, they always beg me to have another baby and they'd love a brother or sister. Mm. She's adamant. She just says to me, no.
Does she?
Yeah, and that's it's so funny. And I think that is because I did 5 years with her as a single mum, just the two of us. And I think our relationship's different because of that. And it's very tight. And I don't, it's not because she's being selfish, because she's 9. It's just, I think it just would change everything.
Would.
And I don't feel like we need to now, you know. I just think we've talked about it. We tried lazily for a year. I think sometimes it didn't even make it into the right hole. That's how lazy we were.
So I'm not sure that's laziness. That might have been deliberate.
Oh, yeah, he had a good time. But so I just think it wasn't. We just were useless at it.
Yeah.
We never really tried. And then I did go, obviously, to see my gynecologist and do all of that at the Portland. And he said, I could help you and I can do things to boost your fertility. And I just walked out and thought, I really can't be
it's
bothered.
Effort,
I think I'll just go
it?
And get a coffee from Brett.
By the way, talking of being pregnant, it's just reminded me that when we went to Charlie Jilks' wedding, which is Puglia, a few years ago, it must be 5 years ago now, my God. I remember that you'll remember this, we were split up from our partners.
Yeah.
And I was probably 5 or 6 months pregnant. And I looked around me and I quickly realised that I was at the boring end of the table. So Charlie had obviously strategically, because he's so smart like that, he put certain people next to certain people he thought would get on very well, da da da. And then he was obviously left with maybe 10. Oh, God, where do I put them? They're the boring lot, pregnant. And I looked around and I was with all the other pregnant women. I was like, great, this is going to be good fun.
Yeah.
I turned around and Wiggy is wedged like some little dollop of smug jam in this Donna Air Denise Van Outen sandwich. And he looked round, double thumbs up at me,
having
going,
the time of my life.
Basically saying that you, he put it in a slightly filthier way, but that this was basic flashbacks to his 14-year-old dreams, because he'd had both your posters on his wall.
That's so funny.
But he had such a laugh with you at that wedding, and I remember thinking, yeah, I'm not going to get pregnant again for a long time, because I want to be right in there in that mix, having fun with the girls.
Will you have another one, do you think?
I don't, I can't now.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
Do you know what? I had two brilliant pregnancies, and then I had two terrible births.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely terrible.
It's like my sister was traumatic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And all it does is you just go, why rock the boat? Like, I've got two lovely kids. I love our little team dynamic.
Yeah.
I love the four of us. Man-on-man marking, no zonal. So basically, imagine having three. You'd be like, who looks after the third? It's bonkers,
isn't
it?
No, I know. I know, I'm the same as well.
You've got to count your blessings, I think.
And I just think, because of my age, you know, I just, it does now come with other issues and worries of...
Well, look at Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah.
She's 55. She just had a kid.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I just don't, I personally, and I've got a friend, you know, who's a similar age to me, and she's having one, and that's great, but I just, I don't think I could be doing the school run for the rest of my life. That's what it would feel like.
Yeah, you'd literally.
But their children are an absolute blessing, and I love it, but I just, there's so many things that I want to do as well that I've just, I did put to one side because of being a mum and being on my own and bringing her up, and that I stopped doing, that I'm Like, I would never have taken the job in Australia a year ago, 2 years ago, because I was very much like, I need to be at home, I need to be with Betsy.
Yeah.
But as she's getting older and understanding more,
yeah,
and she's got all her little friendship groups, and that I can go off now and have the freedom to do things, and there's still things I want to do.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got a great relationship with her, so I don't think it would damage that, but it could jeopardise, it could change it. You never know what the change is going to do.
I don't know.
But that's brilliant. So what other goals or ambitions do you have?
There's a couple of things that I've checked my little list of things that I've, some things I forget that I've done. I have to look through my CV. Like, I was going to everyone, I'd love to do a sitcom, and then I realised I have done one. But I would like to do another sitcom, because I do like comedy. I'd also like to, I've never done just a straight play.
Oh, yeah.
I've done a lot of theatre.
Like a series.
Serious play, which I'd quite like to do.
What about a podcast? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to do a podcast.
I think you'd be really good.
I'd enjoy that, I think. It would be good fun.
You're a good talker.
I don't stop, do I?
I love it.
I do. Honestly, at home, Betsy's like me. We don't stop talking. Eddie's like, I can't get a minute's peace.
It's good.
Yeah, it's funny.
I feel like you're one of these people that's going to work.
Is it getting darker in here?
Yeah.
That's just really your eyes. Weird.
It's just your eyes.
Have you just turned the lights down?
Do you know what? It's because it's edging closer to opening time.
I know. They're like,
and then suddenly the doors are going to open, and all these people are going to come in their suits from work for a cheeky beer afterwards. I feel like work-wise, you're not going to stop. I don't feel like. I think you're a bit like my mum. My mum is one of these people that, if she stops working, she won't know what to do with herself.
No, I wouldn't know what to do. I like working.
Keeps her young.
I enjoy it, and I love all the people I meet. I mean, I've got friends, I have to remember my age sometimes, because I've got friends like Lydia and that are just so much younger than me. Like, I'm closer to her mum's age, you know, and they're like trying to drag me out to clubs and come to Ibiza and do this and do that. I'm like, seriously, I used to look at women of my age in clubs and think, oh, you sad cow, you know, like, get alive. And I'm just like, oh, I can't keep doing it anymore.
Do you have a mentor, like, through your career? Has there been someone that's sort of... Because she probably sees you as a bit of a mentor.
Yeah, they do always ask me for a lot of advice. I get all the young ones messaging me about, especially career advice.
I always feel like Barbara Windsor might have been a mentor. Or has that been concocted by the press?
No, that's by the press.
Oh,
not
it?
Really, no. I don't really know Barbara that well. I've only met her a couple of times.
Oh, you're joking?
Yeah. I love her. I love her. I think she's amazing, but I don't really know her.
She's a national treasure,
isn't she? Yeah, she is. Bless her heart. Lovely.
So one of the things I always ask people is, what keeps them awake at night?
Nothing.
Really?
I sleep so well.
Do
ask Eddie.
You?
It literally takes me seconds to go to sleep. And I snore and I go into a really deep sleep.
So you don't worry about anything?
Not really. Oh, I've had worry moments. I've had periods of like insomnia when I've broken up with a boyfriend or whatever. But I don't really. I don't. What's the point in worrying about things?
But I think that could be because you're in a really good place in your life.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe with the Edster.
Yeah, maybe. You can't credit him for everything.
All right. Yeah.
They want to open, look.
Yeah, open the doors.
Let the crowds in.
Put the music on.
Sure.
Music, maestro. No
problem. Look at the curtains. Do what you need to do. Look, the showbiz curtains.
I know.
What would you do if I suddenly turned into, like, put a showbiz costume on and started performing?
I would actually love you.
Wouldn't be surprised.
To just break into song. Can you imagine people walking in here and Denise Van Outen's just standing on the table?
I'd quite like to do that one night.
Just singing.
Do they not have singers in here?
I think maybe we should suggest that to Charlie.
A little corner.
So what we've decided today is that...
You want me to get married to Eddie?
I want you to marry him.
Yeah.
Because I think you're brilliant together.
Yeah, we're not going to have any more babies because
we
just can't. We're too tired.
Maybe another dog.
We would like to get another little French bulldog.
Right.
Because she is like, literally, we treat her like a baby.
Beautiful. So wedding, yes. Baby, no. Dog, yes. Podcast,
yes.
Play, yes.
Yeah, play. That will happen. I'm going to make it happen.
Okay. I think that's going to keep you busy for
the next... It will keep me busy, yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It's lovely to
see
you.
Always lovely to see you. And it's nice that we get to catch up like this.
I know. We basically crammed what we would have said anyway into a podcast. Beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
Lighting's changed again, hasn't it?
Ready for my big entrance.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you. Oh, did you enjoy that? She's so lovely, isn't she?
No pretense, just genuine and authentic. What you see is what you get. Thank you, Denise. Really enjoyed having you on In The Pink. So let me have your feedback. Rate, review, subscribe, and let me know which other guests you'd like to come on In The Pink. See you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.